because of their increased sensitivity, and they're more sensitive to the negative things that they're consuming in their environment, as well as because of this increased sensitivity.
Okay.
But there are ways of balancing yourself. In fact, for years we taught seminars in which we taught people how to balance themselves in various ways. The neurophone, for example, balances the body. When you listen to pink noise or a sound that's sort of like a waterfall, even the ohm tape has a very powerful balancing effect.
Well, I was just in a group this afternoon who just about did what you were playing over the air tonight.
Right.
And it was very interesting because it was a bunch of young people, a large group of young people,
right,
who were rockers.
Uh-huh.
And they had never really had that experience before. And everyone could feel the action in the center and the interior of the body.
Absolutely.
And it was terrific.
Yeah.
And it's not only terrific for the person that hears, but the person that partakes,
right,
in that experience.
In that case, for example, when you do the ohm, especially if you do enter that channel or that resonance that you're talking about that you can only experience, and it's hard to understand unless you've experienced it, and the ohm tape has that in it, the ohm tape from the King's Chamber. But when you do enter that state, when you allow that vibration to enter your body, it does have a powerful effect on balancing acupuncture meridians. And that's why every single mantra or every single chant that is in the Sanskrit language begins with the word ohm, because ohm is such a balancing sound.
Well, do you also agree then that perhaps those particular sounds and calls maybe call letters and call tones to the ships?
Sure.
Okay.
Well,
could be.
Could be.
Could be.
Work with our ships anyway.
Are you privileged to any of the channels who are channeling information from the ships
well,
at this time?
Yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, when we talk about, you know, Patrick Flanagan as an inventor, I mean, speaking for myself, when we talk about me as a child prodigy inventor and all that, all the inventions that came out of me when I was a child from the age of 8 forward were channeled. And,
right.
You know, I admit that freely, and there are a lot of people who have been inventors who don't admit it, that is publicly, but privately they'll tell you that they receive their ideas from another higher source, whether that's ships or whatever. And
right.
Every
yeah.
single major invention, including my neurophone, was channeled.
Well, that's good company, because Tesla said the same thing.
Exactly.
Einstein said the same thing.
Are you aware of some of the people that are channeling high energies from the Christed ships?
Oh,
and
yes. Well,
yes.
We are all.
I know you are. I'd just
right.
like somebody to say it.
Right.
And sometimes it concerns me when people talk about out-of-body and astral projection without talking about protection and how to care for yourself when you do these things.
Right.
And I sometimes think that perhaps you should talk about that as well.
Right.
Because just floating out of the body is not the ideal state. And so what is more ideal is rather than
right.
to go within to the God within. And that's where our source is.
Right.
And to stay connected with all of our bodies and all of our forms.
Right. We all have guides or angels who
right.
are assigned to protect us, and basically what we do is ask, and they can't exert their full power of protection unless you ask them.
The law of the universe.
So you
okay,
simply ask
the only
for that
thing
protection.
I'm saying, I don't mean to interrupt, please excuse me, but the only thing is that I hear a lot about the curiosity, which is wonderful, and the need for this new wave of love and intelligence that's coming our way. But at the same time, a lot of people play with it. And
right.
it's very, very dangerous if we don't have some guides on this earth that are teaching the same things that you're teaching about your neuroform or whatever, forgive me, the name of your invention is, that we must teach also how is the proper way to gain entrance to to the inner circle rather than to float out there somewhere and get onto the astral plane, which is not a lighted plane. You know, to get to the higher forms and the higher levels, one has to go through the astral plane and to the higher level of truth. And so what concerns me is that I have found that there are people that are beautiful human beings and spirits that are not getting past that and are in danger and in trouble because they're floating out there out of body somewhere without instruction.
Some of us can't float out there out of body.
I know. And sometimes it's better that you don't.
Got a traffic ticket. I'll never live that
day. You know, sometimes that's for your own good.
I suppose so.
What happens, you can really ask any channel of truth, and they'll tell you that they know many people that are beautiful spirits that are in the mental hospitals because they did not know any better.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I had to say it.
No, we discussed that very same thing. I believe we discussed it last week or the week before.
Okay.
What you were just talking about there, Kate.
Oh, great. Glad to hear it.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Beautiful.
Thank you for dropping in with us. Beautiful to have you along. And Florence, you're there.
Hi, this is very interesting, and I definitely agree with Kate. I've been working in this field since early 50s, and my first teacher was an accomplished metaphysician, which released me, and I'm going to ask you about something else later, but I have to tell you about when the man mentioned a flotation tank. Well, when I go, whether you want to call it into the higher dimension or the other side or whatever.
You go out of body too?
Yeah. I am encouraged to come oftener than I do because, there's things that this planet needs.
Mm-hmm.
But before I get, I'm allowed to go into the higher, up to the, at the seventh level, there's this tank or pool, whichever you want to call it.
You've been to the seventh level?
Sure. This water, I was taken into it slowly at first because it's a little, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
I can lay down in it and still get all the oxygen I need.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't think you need any.
Well, it seems like, you know, I'm talking about spiritual things in physical terms.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And then there's a waterfall. And it's like liquid light, if you can imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
So then I go up the middle of the waterfall. And then there's a tree, which is like crystallized light. And
how often do you take these trips, Florence?
Well, my guide tells me I should do this at least once a week or preferably once a day, quickly, you know.
Could you send your guide over to see me?
Bill, I almost went down to Van Nuys. A friend of yours told me that you were going to be in the Van Nuys court,
mm-hmm,
the house yesterday. I hope everything came out all right.
Well, it's going to be December 4th. It was continued again.
Oh, well, maybe I'll come down there, and my name is Florence, and we could get together.
Okay.
Anyway, I wanted to ask Dr. Flanagan and Gail about, several years ago, I got a pyramid, which is a free-floating mobile about 3 feet square and 3.5 feet tall, and it's made out of tubular aluminum. I hung it above my bed, and this becomes my favorite room because, there's the large pyramid on top, and then the bottom is constructed of 9 smaller pyramids pointing down to the earth, and the top pyramid is pointing up toward the sky, and I was told when I bought it that it unites the two energies from the earth and the upper reaches. You familiar with that?
Oh, sure, sure. There are a number of energies. There are earth energies, and there are more etheric energies. And architects, the Chinese geomancers, I'm familiar with both kinds of energies. And yes, you can utilize both, and you can, with resonant structures like the pyramid, utilize both energies.
Does that help you, Florence?
Yeah, I just, it's amazing how, well, I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, no, it's true. There's, you know, when we first wrote the book Pyramid Power in 1972, it was, the reason you don't hear that much about pyramids anymore is that pyramids are now accepted a lot more than they were. And, you know, when something's pretty well accepted, it's sort of like normal, and then you don't hear much about it because it's not as controversial as it once was. And
yeah, when something's new, everyone talks about it.
Right.
Do you have the Ohm tape?
Yes, it's available through our office.
You mean okay. This tape here?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that has a lot of power. I go to a group that uses the Ohm.
Right.
Okay, Florence, thank you very much for sharing all of that.
Okay, on December 4th, is this going to be at 1:30 again?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll come down there and introduce myself.
All right, be good to see you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's open. Cliff. Hi, Cliff.
Hi, Dr. Flanagan?
Yes.
So, I'd like to ask you, you had mentioned something about a half an hour ago about Newton's third law.
About what?
Newton's third law.
Newton's law?
Newton's third law.
Third law, right.
You mentioned something about time. Could you expand on that?
Well, this was regarding the inertial drive, or the Dean drive that we mentioned earlier. And for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, but it should actually be modified to say not at the same time, because the Dean drive makes use of the natural time delay that's in the physical universe to create a unidirectional vector force. And it does this. In other words, theoretically, if you have, for example, in the Dean drive, you have two weights rotating in opposite directions. And theoretically, the imbalances in the system should cancel out exactly, and it should sit in one place and just vibrate. But what he does is he creates a slight time phase differential in which this imbalance is manifested in one direction. And so it becomes unidirectional. I mean, we had Dean drives rolling all over the, like a little red wagon with one in it, and it would roll all over the laboratory and so forth, and it wasn't throwing anything out, and it wasn't driving a wheel or anything. You can put it on a scale and turn it up, and we had a device that weighed 25 pounds that went down to, say, 2 or 3 pounds. And you could pick it up. You could pick it up with your little finger and hold it as long as it was turned on. Turn it off, and you got 25 pounds on your little finger. So, basically, this shows that there's a time lag or time delay that can be utilized to create inertial drive or inertial force. And this would work fine in outer space when you don't really need to generate that much force. But in no one has really been able to generate enough force to make it worthwhile to build such devices on the Earth's surface.
Have you developed any mathematics along that besides experimental?
There's tons of math on it, yes. This work that I'm talking about was done 24 years ago. In other words, most of the math was worked out by William O. Davis, who was formerly head of the Air Force Research and Development, and who was at that time director of high research laboratories in Stamford, Connecticut. Bill Davis is dead now, but a lot of that data was published in Analog Science, Fact, and Fiction magazine in the fact section years and years ago when John W. Campbell was editor.
Does that help you, Cliff?
Where can I get it?
You're going to have to go to the library and just do some research on it. Unfortunately, you're going to have to look up in the books and you know, in the books and print to see if there's anything, and then go back into the magazines and start looking for Dean Drive. If they have analogs, start looking in the indexes and go back about 24 years, and you'll find a lot of data on the Dean Drive back then.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Cliff.
Thanks.
And good hunting on that one. Elena.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. I'm so interested. You're so very interested.
Thank you.
I tuned in late, and when I tuned in, there was a gentleman talking about IV, and this is what it sounded to me, IVT, shot?
IBT.
Oh, IBT. Uh-huh. And I am interested, where can I get, do I write in to your Nevada office to get
right.
information about that?
We have an audio tape, a cassette tape on it, a one-hour tape on it.
I can hardly hear you, I'm sorry.
It's about our research and our travels around the world to find the ideal, you might say, rejuvenation or revitalization technique to reverse the aging process of the human system. Basically, when we're talking about reversing the aging process, we're really just talking about reversing the effects of stress, because it's really stress that ages and accelerates the aging process. And there are various ways of reversing it, and the IBT is one way to do it at a cellular level. And then there are, of course, you know, exercise, diet, things like that. But a lot of that data is on our tape. So if you write our office and ask for it, we'll send you a price list. Also, please, when you do, if you do write us, please send a self-addressed and stamped envelope with your letter.
Fine. Oh, well, thank you very much.
Okay, Elena. Yeah. I hope that's helpful to you.
Well, very much. Thank you.
And, Romaine, you're on.
Hello, Bill. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
And I have a question for Pat and Gail.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a natural quartz crystal that I think might possibly be a coated one. And I was wanting to know, is there anyone that they know that can decode them? Or what I could do to find out something about it.
What do you mean, a coated crystal?
Well, I had read that there might possibly be coated crystals. And this crystal that I have, on the face of it, it has three little triangles over on the lower right-hand side, and it has lines going across the top. And when I look closer, it does have triangles on across the face, more of them.
Right.
But they are smaller, but the only one is raised, and it's almost like, say, someone would sign a painting or something
right.
on the right-hand side.
Those are called phantom crystals.
Yeah. The way that you get information out of a crystal is that you have to, the only way to do it is to meditate on it. And Gail and I are working on a way of trying to get information out of a crystal by using the neurophone.
Uh-huh.
In other words, by plugging a crystal into the neurophone and then transmitting that information directly into the brain. That may be possible.
Is there any place I could get in touch with you to possibly have you check it out, or?
Well, that's hard to do. The only thing right now, because we are in a very isolated laboratory, and the only way to really, unfortunately, do that is if we're happen to be giving a lecture or something. But if you write a letter, we talk about crystals a lot in our newsletters. And so if you drop us a line or whatever with the self-addressed and stamped envelope, we'll send you a little sheet on what information is available. It's very difficult for us to give private consultations.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, my feelings on it are that it might have something to do with the pyramids in Giza, because they are in kind of the same line as the three big ones, you know,
right.
Cheops and the other two.
Where did you get the crystal?
I had got it from a man that sells rocks, and it is a Brazilian crystal, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I had got it at the Orange County swap meet.
Oh, that's great. Those phantom crystals, as Gail mentioned, we have a number of crystals that have, you know, pyramid-type phantoms in them. And
now, this isn't inside. It's on the face.
It's
kind of raised.
Okay.
The largest one is.
Well, it sounds like a great crystal. The best advice that we can give you is to put yourself in a relaxed state, place that crystal on your solar plexus or on your third eye in your forehead, and lying down, and maybe listen to the Om tape and go into a very deep, relaxed state and just ask for guidance, ask for information, and just keep doing that and see what comes, because if there's any information there that you're supposed to have, you'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
now,
I would put it under my pillow,
okay.
actually, and then I would make note of the type of dreams I have.
Uh-huh.
And you understand also that the information will come to you when it's supposed to. I've got some fantastic crystals that are one of a kind that represent the distilled essence of probably 500 tons of the regular quartz. And I know that within them is some very valuable information because that's how the ancients stored the information. Crystals are sort of organic computers. And if you wanted a way to store information for billions of years, you would use the crystal. So when the information is to be brought out, it will be. And if it is a powerful and a very important crystal, and it is in your possession, then apparently you're the one that should know about it. So I would put it under my pillow and see what type of dreams I have,
mm-hmm.
and make note of them. But understand that when the time is right, the information will be there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Romaine, does that help you?
Yes, thank you very much.
Don't push the river.
Pardon?
In other words, don't push the river.
I see. Okay, the little lines that might be going across the top, would it be any help to magnify them to see, say, like microwaves?
Those are growth lines.
Uh-huh.
And those little horizontal lines are growth lines. Realize that a crystal that's an inch long took about 50,000 years for it to grow. And in 50,000 years of growth, there are variations, in the environment in which the crystal was growing, which create those little lines and things. So,
the little triangles on them now, could they be some kind of growth from that? Or?
Oh, sure. They could be some kind of growth. That's very possible.
The phantoms are a mystical type of inclusion.
No, this is on the surface, though, she's talking about.
Well, I know, but yeah. The type of crystal that you have helps you to sort out and sift the harvest of your experience. When it's in your proximity, worn, and especially if consciously focused upon, and projected and meditated with, then you can call it a clearinghouse, but as you look at it and you spend time with it, I mean a lot of time, put it in the sunlight, soak it, purify it, and spend time with it, and the more you look into it, the more you'll get out of it. There's no hard and fast rules with crystals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my favorite sayings is that the only rule about crystals is there are no rules. You know, there are a lot of people that set up all these regulations and so forth. Yes, there are a lot of facts that are true about crystals, but just being with it in a way that you find comfortable. Some people put it under their pillow. Some people will take it into meditation. I do all of the above. I have crystals with me all the time.
I mean, she's our crystal bag lady.
Yeah. My middle name is Crystal.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Gail carries about, literally, and she wasn't joking, she carries on her off day, on her light day, she carries 30 pounds of crystals in her purse.
I believe in creating my own environment. And when I have my crystals with me, then everywhere is home.
So that's the way that goes. Okay, Romaine, thank you very, very much.
Yes, thank you. Goodbye.
I'm Bill Jenkins, and with me, and hello, Edson.
Oh, hi. How are you, Mr. Jenkins?
Fine.
And Dr. Flanagan and Mrs. Flanagan. First, I'd like to ask, I got in late, so I didn't get the address of your laboratory. Could you give that again?
Okay. Our laboratory is in Sedona, Arizona, but our office where we communicate with the world, you might say, is in Novato, California. And that's at P.O. Box 686. Novato, N-O-V-A-T-O, California. And the zip is 94948. And if you drop us a line and want to know information, please include a self-addressed and stamped envelope.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, have you heard of the use of tourmaline?
Oh, yes.
It's both pyroelectric and piezoelectric, and I haven't heard too much about that in crystal research. It seems mostly quartz crystals. And also, could you mention about the biomagnetic effects? I do research for the Albert Roy Davis Laboratory in Green Cove Springs, Florida. And let's see, have you ever heard of the phyton device in the Soviet Union that uses phytosides from plants?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Could you comment on those things?
Well, you want to hear about the tourmaline?
Yeah.
First? Okay. Well, the electroatomic currents that are magnetized in the rhythms of all tourmaline crystals are directly linked to the areas in our consciousness that automatically balance our hormone levels and secretion. I just Patrick just purchased a tourmaline ring for me for our anniversary present. By the way, it's really wonderful sharing our anniversary with a million people.
Happy anniversary.
Today. And
also Evelyn's birthday, too.
Yeah, and happy birthday, Evelyn. Anyway, the keynote of the tourmaline is regulation. It sort of guards the temple of our endocrine system, so to speak. It's one of the most powerful stones for polarizing the body that we could use.
Mm.
And I highly recommend them, and it's also very soothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, as I said, balancing.
Mm.
What was the other question?
About biomagnetics, and there's some research that the North Pole seems to affect IQ.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about the North Pole affecting the IQ, but Albert Roy Davis did point out the fact, he was the first person I know of who actually, in a scientific way, pointed out the fact that there is a difference between the North Pole and South Pole of the magnet as far as the energy. Although Carl von Reichenbach, who wrote the books on Odic Force, using people who had clairvoyant or psychic vision, said that there was a difference in the color emanation from a magnet, the North Pole emitting a blue color and the South Pole emitting a red color. And Roy Davis discovered a very simple thing, that there is definitely a difference on physical materials, crystal growth, on the hardness of various thermal setting and room temperature setting materials such as concrete, things like that, with north-south pole treatment. So there's a huge volume of information on north and south pole magnetic effects. But no one really quite understands, what is really going on, except that there is a great difference in it. We've done a lot of research on it, but that would take a whole... We could talk for, a whole hour just on that, so that's just sort of a summary of it.
Well, Edson always comes in with a multiple warhead question here.
That's true. I wonder about this device they're using in the Soviet Union that uses air phytocides to stimulate workers and also kill germs. Have you heard about that?
Well, just a little bit about it. There's not that... In other words, naturally. I don't know that much about it, except that, again, going back, Dr. Phil Callahan in at the University of Gainesville in Florida has, using a device known as a Fourier Transform Infrared Spectrometer, has discovered that plants emit molecules that, when stimulated by ordinary environmental radiation sources, that is, infrared sources in the environment, plus acoustic vibrations, things like that, emit laser lines. In other words, these molecules actually emit laser energy at certain wavelengths in the infrared spectrum, and insects use these wavelengths to communicate. And what we found is that essences of plants, and also essences from any living organism, radiate energies at different wavelengths, and Phil Callahan believes that it is these certain wavelengths that are the control energies for the living system.
Mm.
And so if you want to control bacteria, or you want to control or heighten certain effects, why, you simply put a few of these organic molecules in the air and hit it with the right environmental radiation, and they emit these energies that have powerful, powerful effects on the bio system. And it's really an interesting area, an area that I've done research with Phil Callahan on, and it's absolutely wide open. He has the first infrared spectrometer, as far as we know, that was ever developed, and it's a brand new area of investigation, and right now we don't know very much about it, except that we are actually measuring these precise wavelengths and discovering that when the body is irradiated with certain wavelengths, it creates certain feelings. For example, going back to the Om sound earlier, when you chant the word Om, it causes this. It causes these laser emissions from the human breath. The molecules of our breath actually generate these laser lines that, when you get that right resonance that we were talking about earlier, the breath actually lights up brilliantly in the infrared spectrum. And at that point, people who are in the environment suddenly transcend to new levels of consciousness.
I have a new level of consciousness we're going to have to transcend to, guys.
Right, I know.
Okay. The year is... So, you guys continue. If you're done, I think... Did Patrick answer your question?
Yeah, he certainly did. And, Mr. Jenkins, I got a tape of the Radio Moscow tribute to Tesla. I finally got it for you, and I'll be sending it on to you.
All right. Thank
you
very much, Ed.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate
Bye-bye.
That. Maybe we have time to get to Leonard's question. Hello, Leonard.
Hi, good evening. May I suggest a couple of corrections? A lady, a couple of calls back, several calls back, seemed to be put out about how many people were in mental institutions. I would suggest to her that there are a lot more out of them than there are in. If it was the other way around, it would be a highly unbalanced world. Doctor?
Yeah, he's there.
Have you ever heard of the experiment where different sounds were played to plants?
Oh, yes. Sure.
And in which a concert music like Bach and Beethoven was played in modern jazz, but the plants and growth responded best to the sound of a Ferrari engine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. In fact, that's being used in agriculture. Acres USA, an agricultural magazine, deals in things like this. There are actually commercial devices on the market right now that radiate orchards with the sounds of chirping birds and things like that, because they found out that chirping birds make plants grow better than anything.
Will you allow me to say something very important about Sir Isaac Newton? He is recognized as the greatest cognitive genius that has ever lived in the history of the world. His law or principle that for every action there is an equal reaction